That was wonderful. Thank you, choir. Thank God for a redeemer, a creator, and a king in Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, please, if you would turn with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Once again, we thank you for being a part of our anniversary Sunday. We appreciate your fellowship and we trust that God will grant you a blessing from your time with us, especially for those that are visiting for the first time. I'd like to answer the question, what does it mean to be a Christian according to the Bible? Here in John chapter 10, I'd like us to read verses 9 to 11. I'll read if you would just follow along and consider the words of Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John chapter 10 verses 9 to 11. Our Lord Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, O God in heaven, that you are our creator. You are our redeemer. And you are our king. And we ask and pray that you would help us to focus upon the Word of God during this time. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would help us to have understanding concerning the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that you'd meet each one at that point of spiritual need this morning. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do ask. Amen. I would like to answer this question within my sermon title. What does it mean to be a Christian according to the Bible? The word Christian is used very broadly today. What does it really mean? Some would say, well, if you're not a Muslim, then you are a Christian. Then others would say, well, even though we're in different denominational churches, aren't we all Christians? We have people in many denominations today calling themselves Christians. Who are the real Christians? Are they all Christians? Australia is known as a Christian country. What does this mean? Are we all Christians because we live in Australia? My friend, this morning the Bible is God's Word. And God has given to us all that we need within his word, that we might know him and live for him. So let's set aside for a moment our definition of what or who is a Christian. And let's allow God, through his eternal word, the Bible, clarify what does it mean to be a Christian according to the Bible. It would be good for us to take heed to what God teaches Because the Bible teaches us that all will face judgment one day. The Bible teaches us in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27, it is appointed unto man to die. But after this, the judgment. See, the issue is not sincerity. The issue is not whether a person is religious or not. The issue is not even doing unto others as you would have others do unto you. And really the issue is not, well, that's what I've known and that's what I've grown up with. The issue is, what does the Bible teach? What does it mean to be a Christian according to the Bible, which is the Word of God? And thereby we will be judged according to the Word of God. Well, some might say, well, I don't believe the Bible. Well, that doesn't change the fact. You will still be judged according to the Word of God. So please bear with me and let's note from the Holy Bible what or how God defines a Christian. Now within this word Christian, you will find the word Christ. And this teaches us straight away that being a Christian involves a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'd like to illustrate that from our passage of Scripture this morning. The Lord Jesus gives an analogy, uses a shepherd and sheep to picture that relationship that defines what is a Christian according to the Bible. In verse number 6 of John chapter 10, the Bible reads, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." A parable is simply a story given to illustrate one main spiritual truth. So whenever you read of the parables of Jesus Christ, you and I need to look for that main central truth that Christ is trying to convey, he's trying to teach us. And with this little parable this morning that we will look at concerning a shepherd and sheep, I'd like for us to note from the Scriptures what it means to be a Christian. And verse number 1, please, of chapter 10, the Lord Jesus cautions us about shepherds that will lead sheep astray. So in verse 1, there is a caution given. Note, please. Verily, verily. That word verily means truly. I'm telling you the truth. Please take heed. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. That's not difficult to work out. The owner would enter through the appropriate door. A thief or a robber will find another means of entering in to steal. And here in verse number 1, the Lord Jesus cautions us. We are cautioned concerning shepherds that lead sheep astray. And these are known as false shepherds that bring harm to the sheep. And many of the Old Testament prophets warned of these shepherds that led people astray, led God's people, the nation of Israel, into destruction. In Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 and 2, Jeremiah gives one of many warnings concerning these false shepherds that leads sheep astray. So why does the Lord Jesus caution concerning these false shepherds that will lead sheep astray? Well, the Bible likens people, that's you and me, but God likens people to sheep. Sheep are in need of guidance. Sheep are in need of security. Sheep are in need of provisions. Sheep need the protective guidance of a shepherd. And also the Bible teaches us, and it's a proven fact, if you observe sheep for any period of time, sheep are prone to wander. This makes them very vulnerable. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 53, verse number 6, the Bible teaches us, all we, like sheep, have gone astray. Just like sheep have a natural bent to stray, so likewise we, like sheep, have a tendency to want to do our own thing. Why is that? Well, sheep are self-willed. And God's understanding of human nature, because He is our Creator, He understands that we, like sheep, are also self-willed. So therefore, we are likened to sheep that have a tendency to stray. They really need the guidance of a shepherd. And here in verse number 1, the Lord Jesus, first and foremost, gives a warning concerning false shepherds, those that might lead you astray. And we, being likened to sheep, my friend, the Bible teaches us that we, like sheep, have gone astray. Astray from who? Astray from God. Because we all have a self-will. This self-will is the outward expression of a sinful nature. The Bible teaches us in the book of Romans chapter 3, there is none good, no, not one. The Bible teaches us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Sheep are defenseless without their shepherd. I think you'd all agree that probably a lion could stand on its own 4 feet and defend itself. And many of God's creatures can do likewise, but when you consider a sheep, they have little resistance, if any at all. Sheep are defenseless without their shepherd. And we likewise need a shepherd to protect us from physical and spiritual harm. See, sheep, apart from their shepherd, are subject to danger. And here within verse number 1, the Lord Jesus warned the false teachers. And He likens them to hirelings. A hireling was one that was paid to care for sheep for a set period of time. And the problem with hiring a temporal shepherd was that normally these temporal shepherds had really no interest in the sheep. They were just after their pay. And the Lord Jesus likens these false teachers, these false shepherds, to hirelings. They really had no interest, no concern for the sheep. And the Lord Jesus was warning against false teachers and liken them to hirelings that had no real interest in the well-being of sheep. And specifically, the Lord Jesus was referring to these religious leaders of that day that opposed the very words of the Son of God. And He was basically saying, they are false shepherds that will lead you astray. And my friend this morning, don't let religion lead you astray from the truth found in the Word of God. And as the Lord Jesus warned of these false shepherds that were leading people astray, so likewise may I warn you this morning concerning this question, what does it mean to be a Christian according to the Bible? Don't let religion lead you astray from the truth contained in the Word of God. And then note there in verse number 2, please, of John chapter 10, the more Jesus goes on to show us that he is that true shepherd. Note then verse 2, but he that entereth in by the door. The one, the shepherd that uses the correct entrance, that individual is the shepherd of the sheep. A thief and a robber breaks in, but the true shepherd uses the door provided. And the Lord Jesus, by this, is illustrating for us that he is that true shepherd. He's illustrating this by the fact that he has come into the world through the right door, so to speak. He is that promised Savior found and referred to in the Old Testament scriptures. And the Lord Jesus said, beware of those false shepherds that will lead you astray. And a mark of the true shepherd, the real shepherd, the true owner of the sheep, is that he will enter through the door. He will come in the correct way. And my friend, as we study the Old Testament scriptures, we find time and time again a reference to a shepherd to come. A redeemer, a savior, a messiah. And just like God promised a shepherd for the nation of Israel, he also at the same time promised a savior for the whole world. And the Lord Jesus said, you can discern the true shepherd because the true shepherd will enter into the fold via the door, the correct way. And as we study the Old Testament scriptures, we find hundreds of predictions concerning the coming Savior. And we find that each one was fulfilled to the very letter in the person of Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus was born of a virgin. The Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus came to give life and redemption. The Lord Jesus would be presented by a forerunner by the name of John the Baptist. And many of these prophecies, these predictions were made no less than 400 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And John the Apostle teaches us that Jesus Christ is this true shepherd promised to the world. And the Lord Jesus was warning against those false shepherds that will lead you astray. And he said, a mark of the true shepherd is that he enters in through the door. He doesn't climb over one of the sides. He's not a thief, he's a robber. He will come in through the correct means. The Lord Jesus in his coming fulfilled hundreds of prophecies. He provided for you and I ultimately his very life. In verse number 11, the Lord Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. What does it mean to be a Christian according to the Bible? Well, let's take note who is the true shepherd first and foremost. And the Lord Jesus warns there is a false shepherd, there is a true shepherd. Then he goes on to clarify the fact that he is that good shepherd. He is that true shepherd. And with this parable, Jesus Christ confirms that he is the only door of the sheep. There in verse number 7, Jesus said unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. So with this parable, my friend, the Lord Jesus confirms that he is the only door of the sheep. What did he mean by that? Well, he simply meant this. If we want to become one of his sheep, if we want to become a Bible Christian, not a self-defined Christian, But a Bible Christian, that should be our interest for the hour, should it not? If we want to become one of his sheep, a Bible Christian, then we need to enter God's fold through a door. That door is Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus affirmed that fact in verse number 7. He said, I am the door of the sheep. And then he made reference to that fact once again in verse 9. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Sheep are prone to wander. Sheep can have different owners. But let me ask you this morning, are you one of God's sheep? Do you belong to the true shepherd? Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. He has given his life so that you and I can become a part of his fold. Then verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Opposed to false shepherds, cruel shepherds, shepherds that will bring harm. I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And the Lord Jesus affirmed the fact that he was the one promised in eternity past. And under divine inspiration, many of God's choicest men made reference that in the fullness of time, a Savior will enter the world. He will speak words of wisdom. He will speak words of authority. He will heal the sick. He will cause the blind to see. He will enable the lame to walk. He will feed the multitudes. He will comfort the afflicted and afflict the comfortable. Jesus Christ, he is the true shepherd. And all of that led to a point of reference. And that point of reference was Mount Calvary. And upon Mount Calvary, there were three crosses that were suspended between heaven and hell. And in the midst of these three crosses was one known as Jesus Christ. He, the spotless Lamb of God, on that old rugged cross, died for your sins, died for my sins, became the sacrificial offering to atone for your judgment that was pending because of sin. Jesus Christ shed his blood upon that cross in order to provide the forgiveness of sin. Amen. On his right and on his left were two guilty sinners, but in between was the spotless Lamb of God, who gave his life for the sheep. John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. My friend, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus Christ. My friend, Jesus Christ is the door. He said, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. My friend, the gospel message is simple yet profound, and that is that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. Not for his own sin. There was no sin found in him. And as a lamb that was led to the slaughter, the Bible teaches us, he opened not his mouth, because he became sin for us, he that knew no sin. And upon that cross, he satisfied the holy justice of an almighty God by bearing our sin upon himself. And as he was suspended between heaven and hell, the Bible teaches us he bore our sin with his own precious blood, and he paid in full for your judgment. He paid in full the debt that you owe a holy God. Moments ago, we collectively sung the words of a beautiful hymn, "Holy, holy, holy." And you and I, before a holy, holy, holy God, the Bible teaches us we are unholy, we are unholy, we are unholy. All we like sheep have gone astray, but the good shepherd has given his life for the sheep. And when Jesus Christ died on that cross, he paid for sin, past, present, and future, once and for all. Paid our sin debt. And the Bible teaches us that he was buried. He was placed in a rich man's tomb. And 3 days later, the Bible teaches us, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he arose from the dead. That's what we refer to as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And in that resurrection, he brings life to you and I. And the door to heaven is open for all mankind. And therefore, rightfully, Jesus can say with great authority, "I am the door. I am the good shepherd that's given his life for the sheep. I am the door." A door speaks of a passageway. A door reminds us of a divide that separates one room from another. And if we want to become a Bible Christian, then we need to become a part of his fold. For he stands in sharp contrast to us in our sinful state. So therefore, the Lord Jesus had to rightfully say, "I am the door. If you want to be a part of my fold, if you want to become one of my sheep, then I am the door. I am the way in." In fact, the Lord Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 6, please for a moment, the Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 6. Our Lord affirmed the fact that there is only one door that enables men, women, and children to enter God's fold. Jesus said unto him, verse 6 of chapter 14, "I am the way, I am the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." The Lord Jesus never taught that there are many ways that lead to the one heaven. Look, to be honest with you, I wish that were true. I sincerely do. I wish it were true. There are many pathways that lead to heaven, but that's not what the Bible teaches. Well, you might say, "Well, Pastor, I don't really believe the Bible." Well, that's beside the point. The Bible teaches there is only one way to heaven. If you're right and I'm wrong, you've got nothing to lose. If I'm right and you're wrong, you'll know what to prepare for. The Bible teaches us that Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. The good shepherd has given his life for the sheep in reference to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, is the only door into God's fold, that is heaven. In other words, we are like sheep that have gone astray spiritually, and we need to become a part of his fold. And this shepherd-sheep relationship is a very special relationship. There is a special relationship between a shepherd and his sheep. If you go back to the Gospel of John chapter 10, we'll see very clearly why the Lord Jesus uses the analogy of a shepherd and sheep to picture to illustrate for us what it means to be a Bible Christian. Between that shepherd and his sheep, there is a very intimate relationship that prevails. And this is a very fitting illustration of those that have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. See, being a Bible Christian is all about a relationship. And the unique analogy of a shepherd and sheep is that between that true shepherd, the owner of those sheep, there prevails a relationship. A relationship. Note then verse number 4, that when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them. And note this, and the sheep follow him. If you have this relationship with Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, then you will follow him. Notice that the shepherd leads the sheep from the front. He doesn't stand behind, because the sheep know the shepherd. And the Bible teaches us that the sheep recognize his voice. And you'll find that illustrated with any group of sheep before their shepherd today. So in a sense, sheep are awfully smart, but in another sense, they are smart because they can recognize the voice of their shepherd. And in the biblical setting, a shepherd didn't lead from behind, he led from the front, and he would lead them by his voice. And as those sheep listened to the voice of the shepherd, they knew, this is my shepherd, I'll follow him. He loves me. He will protect me. He will lead me to green pasture. And my friend, if you are a part of God's fold, if you are really one of God's sheep, then there should be the evidence of fellowship, obedience. As we hear his voice, we will follow him. And then note then verse number 5, but a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So a mark of ones of sheep that belong to the Lord Jesus, they will have the ability to discern those false shepherds, and they're going to say no to those shepherds, but they're going to say yes to the good shepherd and follow him. In other words, devotion and yieldedness to the shepherd is the evidence of relationship and ownership. Sheep will follow their shepherd. And the Bible teaches us, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things have become new. If you belong to God's fold this morning, the evidence of that will be open to all. A door provides a way. A door has the ability to divide. A door provides access. And that is the key thought that our Lord Jesus was trying to stress by using that analogy, I am the door. He wasn't saying that he was literally a wooden door. He was using that to illustrate the fact that a door, the chief good of a door is to provide an entranceway. Entrance in, entrance out. And the Lord Jesus said, I am the door. If you want to become a part of God's fold, then I am the door. You must come by me. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, my friend. Are you one of his sheep? Or are you one of these stray sheep, just doing your own thing, following your own senses? May I warn you, you need a shepherd. Oh, but pastor, no, you don't know me. I'm okay, I can look after myself. No, you cannot. Oh, but pastor, I'm smart and, you know, I'm I've got everything that I need. I don't need a shepherd. God tells us you need a shepherd, my friend. A door also provides security. What security is there? In a relationship with Jesus Christ, I can tell you, you are saved forever. There in verse number 9, Jesus said, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Saved from danger. What type of danger? Well, the Bible teaches us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus Christ died on the cross, paid for our sin with his own life. His blood became the down payment for our sin. I was once separated from a holy God, but because Jesus Christ paid for my sin once and for all, and he invites me to enter God's fold through himself, I could be saved. Spiritual separation from God means to spend eternity in a place called hellfire. Oh, Pastor, I don't believe in hellfire. Well, suit yourself. The Bible teaches hellfire. If you're right, you're okay. If you're wrong, you'll burn forever. In fact, the Lord Jesus made more reference to hell than to heaven. You can count within one hand how many times the Lord Jesus actually refers to heaven, but you can times that by 4 or 5 times, and that tells you how often the Lord Jesus made reference to this place called hell. Why did he make such reference to hell? Because God does not want you to go there. And there are false shepherds out there leading people astray. They've convinced you that because you've grown up in a certain religion, that you are on your way to heaven. That is not what the Bible teaches. And just because you've been baptized, then you are on your way to heaven. And just because you've never killed anybody, you're on your way to heaven. And just because you have another religion, then you're going to the same place that I'm going to. But my friend, the Bible teaches us, Jesus said emphatically, I am the way. There are no multitudes of ways. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. He is the good shepherd, and you need to receive him as your shepherd. And verse number 9 tells us that you will go in and you will come out and find good pasture. What does that mean? Well, look at verse number 10. In contrast to a thief, the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. By the way, that thief is in reference to the devil. But I am come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. So Jesus Christ promises eternal life. He promises a secure life. He promises a satisfying life, an abundant life, that you might have life more abundantly. What does it mean to be a Christian according to the Bible? It simply means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. And Jesus Christ said, I am the door. A door is a point of invitation. It's a point of entrance. It's a point of welcoming in. And likewise, my friend, this morning, the Lord Jesus invites you in to his fold. We must enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. We need to become one of his sheep, lest we continue to stray or be led astray by false shepherds. Let me close with Revelation chapter 3, please, verse number 20. The last book of the Bible. There in John chapter 10, the Lord Jesus said, "I am the door." Note the analogy here in chapter 3, verse 20 of the book of Revelation. "Behold, this is the words of the Lord Jesus, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Let me close by saying, my friend, that a good shepherd knows his sheep. In fact, as it reads in the Gospel of John, chapter 10, he knows them by name. Good shepherds give their sheep names. He knows them by name. He knows every one of his fold. And may I submit to you, the Lord Jesus, the Good Shepherd, knows his sheep by name. And he said, "I am the door." But yet he turns it around there in Revelation chapter 3, and the Lord Jesus said, "I stand at the door." The door now is in reference to your life, my life. And the Lord Jesus is saying, "I stand at the door and I knock, and I would like for you to open the door and invite me in. I want to have a relationship with you." And let me ask you, my friend, this morning, do you have a relationship with Jesus Christ? Is Jesus Christ knocking on your heart's door right now? Will you let him in? And make sure that you're a Bible Christian. Remember the word Christian? You can't escape the fact you'll find the word Christ in the word Christian. So to be a Christian, you must have a relationship to Jesus Christ. That's not natural, but it's a transaction that must take place. And Jesus said, "I'm the door." And if you will come to Christ this morning and invite him to come into your life to be Savior, you can become a part of God's fold. And be what the Bible refers to, a Bible Christian. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed. Thank you for listening this morning.